Blog Talk Radio.
Listeners, for joining in, you are listening to How Do You See It with me, Miriam Alamu, and today I have Ada Wang with me. We're going to talk about medicine, but today we're not going to talk about any kind of medicine. We're going to talk about energy medicine. Have you ever heard of that, or doesn't that sound interesting? Well, it is interesting to me. So we're gonna talk about with Ada about it and ask her how she has been doing this, what it is, and how we can incorporate in our lives. Thank you so much, Ada, for joining in.
Hello, glad to be here.
Nice. So if you can tell us a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself, and then we can go ahead and ask you about the energy medicine. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, sure. Well, I help folks with stress and overwhelm. And the way I do it is through energetic and spiritual tools, sometimes called energy medicine. Okay. So in my book, it's anything that's not a medication, nobody gets cut open, it's not specific to any one form of religion, and it's not psychotherapy. It's a fourth quadrant that I think that was available more in older times, mm-hmm. when people did share wisdom, there was a natural forms of healing perhaps were more utilized, and the work of the spirit was much more front and center in wellness and reducing stress in community and in relationships. So I kind of call that group of stuff the world of energy and spirit, sometimes called energy medicine. So I have a practice here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I work with people all around the world by Skype and also in my office here.
Wow, thank you so much for that. So yeah. You said it's spiritual as well, right, sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Doesn't that create any objection to some people to practice it? Because, you know, some people think spirituality is somewhat related to religion.
Right, and I'm glad you asked that. This question actually used to come up more than it does these days. Okay. I think people's perspectives are changing, but there are sometimes there's still a confusion on what we mean by spiritual. Mm-hmm. And the way I describe it is that religion is more specific to a form of worship, tradition, book. There are some group-oriented things that are very reassuring, they have a long tradition, and that can be very, very helpful for people, especially when people are looking for community. There's a certain tradition that that feels good for people. That's lovely. Spiritual work, in my book, is much more individual, and I explain it this way, that when you do the work of the spirit on the individual level, you will discover that your book or whatever form of worship you have been doing actually will come alive even more. That the same scriptures, or doesn't matter if it's the Quran, the Bible, or any other form of worship, things come alive for you on an even deeper level that can be really rewarding. So I don't really see any conflict. It's only our terminology that sometimes gets people a little confused, but they're very complimentary.
So it's the way we frame it, okay.
It's the way we frame it, yes, okay. Absolutely.
So does that mean anyone can do it? Anyone can practice this?
Practicing energy medicine?
Uh-huh.
I think so. I think everyone has some innate ability just by being a human. Running around on planet Earth, we have a body, we have a spirit, we have a heart, and some people can run energy through their hands and bodies naturally, which is fine. You can also take a class, and it's like learning to play the piano. Some people do it fairly easily. Some people with a little bit of practice can do it, and there's some people who have taken on to master it. But I do think everyone is capable of some basic things that they can use for self-healing, for self-wellness, you know, within their families. I don't think this is some sort of exotic thing. It's just people haven't been in the habit of using it. And of course, like anything, there are levels of experience. And, you know, sometimes it's nice to work with someone else who's been doing this a bit longer and get some feedback.
I think that's always good in any kind of career you might be. I think it's always good to have a mentor. It's something like that. If you have someone that has been doing this thing for a long time, I think it makes it more easier to kind of follow up from.
And that's one thing that I'm actually very excited about these days. I'm actually mentoring quite a few budding healers so that they can progress faster than I did. And, you know, it can be kind of a lonely path out there because, you know, there are not very many communities that are doing this work in a grounded way. And so sometimes people are sitting at home trying to read from books or they're afraid that people will think they're crazy. And I'm like, no, you're not crazy. Come work with a medicine person like me who's been doing this a while, and I can give you some pointers. Sometimes people come in for help with building their practice from a business standpoint. It's all groovy.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So I'm going to take you to the technical part of this. So
sure.
How does it really work?
Well, you can think of the body as having, it's like a bucket of energetic circuits and points. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people have a fancy word for it. You know, is it called a chakra or this and that? I don't get too technical with that. I'm sure some of your listeners have heard of qi, which is bioenergy. It's a way we run our bodies. And qi keeps your heart beating, keeps your brain healthy, all that groovy stuff. That is the physical part of energy. And then in energy work, there's also other kinds of energy work that aren't immediately tied to the body, but do influence our health, such as our emotions, our spiritual connection to the divine, how we see our lives. Those things are just as powerful, if not more, to our wellness. And the way I work, I incorporate those things. I see those things as part of energy work, energy medicine. Although, depends on who you ask. Mm-hmm. Some people would regard only the body work, acupuncture, or running energy, like Reiki, that would be energy medicine. I don't separate the mind and spirit from the body. Mm-hmm. So even as we talk right now, or as your listeners are out there, they're intuiting an energy from my voice. There are things coming to them because we're all connected. And that connection is very useful when you're talking about helping someone through overwhelm, stress, confusion. It's not just working the body. Those things are impacting someone's health. I have an ulcer. I have migraines. I can't sleep. Insomnia is wrecking my stomach or whatever it is. And I have found looking at everything as energy much more useful than only the body or just one acupuncture point or one homeopathic remedy. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. We are made of energy, correct? We are energy.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, so this is a medicine. It's a branch of a medicine, right? So does that mean it can cure any kind of illness, or does it have any specific things that it can only heal?
Yeah. Well, in energy work, we tend to think that we can work with any condition, but we don't get as caught up with specific outcomes. So this is where we have to be careful about how we use the word medicine. There is the older indigenous way of using medicine, which included the spirit. You know, what is the medicine of this experience? Or your power animal in shamanic work, you know, the medicine of the owl, for example. Nobody's saying the owl is going to cure cancer. But in that context, medicine has a specific word, a meaning. And that is how I use the word. We talk about conventional modern medicine that is perhaps more in the realm of outcomes. You know, physicians talk about positive and negative outcomes, you know, who is cured. And we don't really look at things in that way. I have worked in an integrative medical office right next to a physician who, you know, we were working with patients back and forth. And so she would do more of the traditional medicine, and we would have acupuncture, we have herbs, we have supplements, and I'm working with the spirit. It's all medicine. But if you talk to the AMA, for example, they would have a much more specific criteria of medicine, and they look at specific outcomes. In energy work, we cannot guarantee anything. And that's something I want all of your listeners to be aware of. Anyone who says they can cure something through energy work is not doing people a service. We are providing the best environment for healing to occur so that, for example, I've had, you know, some very surprising outcomes of illnesses that supposedly modern medicine couldn't cure. You know, things started to reverse. Things that were incurable started to reverse. Who knows why? And this is when it's very difficult to pin it down to one thing. You know, was it this supplement? Was it that prayer work? Was it dealing with the stress of the husband? Was it because you the right chemo? My attitude is, as long as it's all working and helping, I'm groovy with that. Okay. It also makes it more difficult to prove, okay, you know, Reiki will definitely cure migraine headaches. Well, it can, but it depends on what kind of migraine it is. And modern medicine has a much narrower view of people being the same. There's a bell curve that we can talk about the average. We could talk about X number of doses of a med. We don't work that way in work of the spirit, because if you took 10 women that are all suffering with migraine headaches and I looked at them, there'd be 10 very different things going on. So it's not just age, race, and blood type or blood pressure or whatever. It's what's going on with this person. Mm-hmm. And although that can be vague, my attitude, the way I sit with my work, is I expect some positive change to occur within, you know, a window of time. So it's not a miracle. You don't just come in one time and poof, you know, everything is gone, your cancer's cured or whatever. But I'm looking for any positive change. It could be better sleep, which, as we know, is going to help anybody dealing with anything in the body, because this is the number one problem in this country. People aren't sleeping enough.
True.
And what is it? The CDC says that something like 50% of all disease and people dying before age 65 has a stress-related component.
True.
Not getting enough good rest is definitely one. Mm-hmm. And then I have to trace why that is. There's a spiritual reason going on with each person. So if I can get someone to sleep better, hey, you know, that's a positive outcome. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's reduction in the need for certain pain meds. I've had people that came in, they were on high dosages of, you know, anti-anxiety medications, Prozac or whatever, did some work, and the dosage is reduced by 70%, sometimes completely. So all I care is that there's a change. Can I guarantee the result? No. For some people, it's going to be quite a lot. For some other people, a little bit more moderate. And I basically saying, if we're getting a good result, let's keep going. And as long as you're continuing to get better, let's work with that.
Wow.
So I don't. That's a long, long answer, but I hope that answers your question. But I do want your listeners to know the distinction between technical modern medicine and this type of work, because we are not practicing medicine in the Western model. So I'm going to, you know, we do not practice medicine. That would actually be dangerous to say. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that we use this word is in a little bit different context.
Yeah.
So I always explain to people, I don't cure anything. I help your body heal itself so that you can probably recover from your chemo faster or your ulcer or whatever,
yeah,
that the recovery times will be enhanced.
Yeah. So even a lot of studies have shown that even a modern medicine sometimes heals some people because they believe in the medicine. They believe because mm-hmm. they went to the doctor and they believe that that person mm-hmm. has more knowledge and the mm-hmm. prescription that they're getting is, you know, more workable, you know. So a lot of studies have shown that sometimes illness is cured because we believed mm-hmm. in the medicine, not because the medicine is actually healing ourselves. So is energy medicine related to the belief of that person? in
you know,
the
that's
process?
A great question, because what you're describing is the placebo mm-hmm. effect, mm-hmm. or, you know, like if I think it'll work, half the time it does work with when taking a medication or something. And that in of itself is, you could say there's an energetic component going on. Okay. And, you know, if someone gets better, is anyone really upset at the end of the day that people can get better with less meds? But I understand, you know, modern medicine is obsessed with proving an outcome. And I do think it's good that drugs are tested. But there's a lot more going on than just the medication. As you said, the attitude of the patient, if the patient thinks it'll work, or the patient has a good relationship with the physician. I'm convinced that part of the problem with our medical system right now is the patient and physician relationship doesn't get enough depth because it's a rush through, you know, number of patients that the doctor has to see, and that relationship matters, and we don't have enough space for that sometimes. Whereas in this side of the house, the relationship becomes very important. Okay. The fit becomes very important. Mm-hmm. I, you know, as far as placebo, do people think energy work works, or do they get better because they think energy work works? I basically encourage everyone to come in with an open mind, and skeptics are just fine by me. I actually like skeptics because I would like to learn what works, you know, that's easier for me to collect data when I'm working with people who are like, well, I don't know, you know. But if they're coming in here wanting me to prove something, like, this is a crock of garbage, I'm only in here because my wife dragged me in, or this, then I'd say, you know, I really don't know if this is going to serve you, because, you know, if you really don't want to, I'd like to honor that instead of doing something to you, and that'd be kind of counterproductive.
But
you know, and
how
the healing might be, where is this resistance coming from?
Okay.
That something you don't understand might actually be useful. You know, things like that.
Yeah. So wouldn't that attitude affect some of the results? Maybe it can take more longer.
You know, that's a great question. Like I said, I love working with skeptics.
Yeah.
Oh, I banged my elbow, and if you can do something, great. If not, well, I'll just go get it looked at. You know, so that is someone who's open. But if someone really does not want me to work on them, I won't.
Okay.
Because it's not ethical. Yeah. So I don't really see the point in forcing that just to see what can happen. But I love skeptics because they're the ones that are really paying attention to the body. Did this help? And usually it does, you know, and then they walk away like, oh my goodness, what happened? I'm like, well, you know, as long as the pain is better, I'm happy, aren't you? And they're like, yes, I don't have to take my meds. And just from that experience, they're usually, something happens. Mm-hmm. People start becoming very curious as to what this is.
Yeah.
And then they're off reading a book secretly, you know, I don't know what Adele did, but, you know, and that's fine because curiosity and opening has occurred. And I'm not vested whether people believe me or not. And if I can't help someone, like I basically have, I say, come on in. I don't know if I can help you. Based on my experience of people that have had similar things, and I'm looking at them orally in the energy field, and I'm like, you seem pretty much like the typical client I work with, very smart, intuitive, and spiritual. Meaning these are people who are very smart and they feel the world deeply. That collision is very stressful. Those are the people I specialize in. So when I'm talking to someone on the phone, often I'll say, you know, it's a discovery conversation, tell me what's going on. But what's really going on this end is I'm hearing them out. Is this person the type of energetic profile that I know I can serve? Every once in a while, I'll speak to someone. I just get a feeling they would be better off with someone else, and I'll just tell them.
Wow.
So this is an inexact science. I think the research is starting to trickle in slowly.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have big drug companies underwriting studies. And unfortunately, if you don't have a lot of money to underwrite a study, it's difficult to get your stuff published and all this stuff. But anecdotally, individuals are getting better. And if that's the end goal, and especially if this work can't hurt anybody, I'm open to the possibilities.
Okay. So I'm going to bring back what you said earlier, because I want to relate this question to that.
Mm-hmm.
You said you're not healing anybody, but you're making their body heal themselves, right?
Right.
Themselves, I'm sorry. So isn't it that similar to meditation? Because as we meditate about anything, we can, it's been said, we can heal ourselves, we can get mm-hmm. whatever we want. So meditation is kind of doing, using our energy to
absolutely.
Our own use, right?
Absolutely. And energy is, in my book, a form of energy energy medicine. It fits the criteria. It's something you can do for yourself. On the spectrum of energetic work, there are many kinds. So it's not like you can say all energy work is meditation and all meditation is energy work. It's like I look at it as a piano. You know, there's meditation might be high C to high E flat, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then there are other kinds. There's tapping, which is a meridian. It's a stress relieving technique, very powerful. That might be down here at low G.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like meditation, doesn't work like meditation, but it is a form of energetic work. And then you've got, you know, over there, you've got some people doing, flower essences mm-hmm. or homeopathic. Okay, that might be, you know, E sharp over there. Mm-hmm. And then way down at the base, there might be, I don't know, Qigong or shamanic work. All these things have value, but they're not the same. So it's not like you can say, well, I tried energy work once and it didn't work. And I said, well, what kind did you try? Well, I tried X. And I said, well, that's lovely. But for what you're dealing with, maybe we need to do some meridian tapping, EFT, for example, because they work differently. Some of these work directly on beliefs that are eating away at people. And I cannot emphasize how important that is. In this culture, we are a very stressed out society. And there is one school of thought, yes, everyone needs to relax. Yes, absolutely. Everyone needs to meditate. But meditation alone will not inspire people to take a necessary action. It will calm the body to feel better. And thank God we can do it, because when we're under a lot of duress, we need to be able to do that. But if something is eating away at you, the solution might be to figure out with a medicine person like me or someone who does what I work, what that might be, to work through the fear of it, the anger, whatever it was, anger, sorrow, anxiety, whatever it was, something is keeping you stuck,
mm-hmm.
rather than meditating that stuckness away. And this is another thing I want your listeners to know. There is a difference between total passivity. People are using spiritual and meditative techniques oftentimes to just sort of escape. I need a break. And that's great. We all need a break. And the other flip side of the coin is when we feel rested, sometimes we've got to come back to normal life and do something. It could be confronting someone who's doing something that is not right. It could be changing jobs. It could be making a decision on something you're scared to do. The spirit is saying, you hate this job. You are only doing it for money. You would really prefer to go off and run flower shop. But, I need to provide, all this stuff. There is a spiritual disconnect going on where people have sold themselves short, or there is a feeling like that's not possible for me in this life. That's some deep spiritual inner lifting that has to happen. That's not necessarily going to be cleared up by meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these different things, some of them are more, palliative? You know, like they'll make you feel better, and we need them. Others are more, okay, what do I need to do to get out of the box? Because when I take action, my entire consciousness, my happiness level, everything is impacted. So
actually,
they are part of the equation. Yeah.
Actually, meditation as well, if you're not really motivated, if you're not really feeling it, it's not really going to help anyways.
Right.
So, okay. So we cannot compare them. It's two different things. I got it.
Yep.
Perfect. So we're going to talk about stress, because you've been mentioning stress a lot.
So
before I ask you that question, I know it's different things for women and men when we come to stress, anxiety, confusion. Do you want to say anything about that before I ask you this question? Because I know it's different for those genders.
Yeah, and I think we're getting into the bleeding edge of what I think consciousness and energy work is moving into. in recognizing the spiritual and energetic differences between men and women. And it's not just the body. There is a difference. Men and women are just different.
Yeah.
And we have to somehow get out of the cultural conditioning that's been going on. It's so loud, you know, ever since, you know, you're a baby in the cradle, you know, you're dressed in this color versus that color, this kind of toy versus that kind of toy. But if we could get around all that, we would still see there are differences in the way women are happiest and men are happiest. And this is important for someone like me who works with overwhelm and anxiousness a lot, because I am a licensed Art of Feminine Presence instructor. So this is a body of work that really is curious and investigates the difference between men and women, not just in roles, but in how we process the world. So, for example, I would say 95 or 99% of men are happiest running their energy and the way they take on things from a masculine essence role. And 99% of women are happiest when they're doing the feminine essence. And so we need this polarity. With masculine and feminine essence is not the same as masculine and feminine energy. And this is something I want your listeners to just have a think about, because unfortunately in the spiritual and everyday conversations, we've collapsed the two to think that feminine is always flowing and, you know, emotional and, you know, stillness going with the flow, and masculine is, you know, taking charge. Those are just qualities. When we talk about gender essence, it's a pattern. It's a way that these genders tend to prefer to run their spiritual, energetic, and physical energy. And what's happened in this culture is instead of people being in the essence that's natural for them, we've had sort of people meeting in the middle. So there's more of like kind of a neutral thing going on, kind of genderless. And in healing and in spiritual work, sometimes there's this idea that men and women are the same. Meditation should be the same, and Qigong should be the same. And, you know, what difference does it make? Mm-hmm. But there is a difference. And when you embrace those differences in sitting with people like I do every day with stress and overwhelm, for example, if I have a woman in here she's run by the to-do list, never enough time, stressed all the time, she feels invisible, she doesn't feel beautiful, she doesn't feel sensual, she feels like everything in life is hard. I can do a few simple things and notice that her energy is running in a masculine style. And very many women are very successful. There's nothing wrong with it, but you probably won't be as happy as if I tweak your energy a little bit and put you more in a feminine essence style so you can be just as productive but happier and a better role model for your children, because you're not fighting the to-do list and the traffic and trying to get your husband to do this and, you know, that kind of push energy that women don't like and men don't like either. And that dance in the relationship gets thrown off and it's adding to stress and overwhelm. You see, so all these things come into the world of when this woman isn't feeling well. Mm-hmm. She's not sleeping. I got to dig in there and figure out spiritually what's going on. Same thing with men. You know, when I tweak things, a few things for men, try doing it this way, and I see them naturally just enjoy it more. So this is not really about pushing women to be more feminine or men to be more masculine. That's ridiculous. Each person finds a different place on the spectrum that feels really good for them. And when I can get them there, their lives usually work much better. Women become more magnetic. Mm-hmm. Men become more electric. That is the difference in the energy. Men's energy tends to be more electric. I go out, you know. Women is more, you know, attractive. They both work. But if a woman is running her energy in a masculine style, she's usually not going to be very happy.
Wow.
And in our culture, we are a more masculine culture in the way things tend to get done. And a lot of women, as a result, are doing things in a style that's not as natural for them. They can do it, but they're not very happy, mm-hmm. You see. And then the nervous system is overwhelmed. They're not happy. They're sniping at their kids and their husband. The marriage is impacted. And women are like, what am I doing wrong? You know, I'm exhausted. So it takes a woman like me to go in and just say, try doing this. And oftentimes it's like, oh my gosh, this is so much easier. I'm like, good. So this is your natural style. Hope
that answers
the question.
That's actually beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.